information is free.
The law?
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge.
Tonight we care.
Here to border
and it shows.
The law?
The country.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not go on with it, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
Lied to by
a government who they were innocent. They have no idea what they're up against.
Religion is regarded by the common people as true, by the wise as false, and by the rulers as useful. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another Bad Friday. Here it is, April 2nd, 2010, episode 164 of Media Monarchy. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. It is Good Friday with sudden mass enlightenment. Catholic criminals, U.S. Real, and the Golden State's pot of gold. Human genes in darkness falls under April skies. Metro blasts, Christian militias, raids and radios, Reichland security, decider in chief, and getting naked in Dealey Plaza. All that, so much more. April 2nd, 2010, episode 164 of MediaMonarchy.com.
As I stand here, don't you walk away. And the world comes tumbling down. And a hand in a violent life, making love on the edge of a knife. And
April Skies. That's the Jesus and Mary chain. The first single off their 1987 record, Dark Lands. And Jesus and Mary and April Skies and Dark Lands are all very appropriate, my friends. Let me once again welcome you formally to the 164th episode of Media Monarchy. It's the 2nd of April, 2010, and my name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, as well as Food World Order and Cyberspace War. Coming to you live, as always, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Time from the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org. 41 degrees and wet as hell here in the Pacific Northwest. It's a soggy Good Friday. And we're glad that we have so many great affiliates spreading the word, playing Media Monarchy, like our good friends at ZeroPointRadio.com, blasting out in Casper, Wyoming at 92.3 FM and 1670 AM, and the worldwide home of free speech, RevereRadio.net. And our newest affiliate, LaughlinRadio.com out of Laughlin, Nevada. Huge thanks to those guys picking up MediaMonarchy.com and carrying it live for you. A new live affiliate so you can hear Media Monarchy live. PRARadio.org, ZeroPointRadio.com, RevereRadio.net, and LaughlinRadio.com. Laughlin is laugh. LINRadio.org or .com rather, I'm sorry. I gotta keep them all straight here. And all the other great ones. Free Radio Olympia, 98.5 FM in Olympia, Washington, FROlympia.org, 104.1 FM in Berkeley, California, BerkeleyLiberationRadio.net, 93.9 FM in Boulder, Colorado, thanks to PhantomRadio.org, 90.7 FM KWMD in Kisilov, Alaska, thanks to OneSkyRadio.com. 87.9 FM in Canton, Georgia, thanks to StickAM.com/Ground Zero Radio. And Glenn at CascadiaPublicRadio.org and Jeff at Radio23.org. Radio23.org also supplying high-quality Media Monarchy episodes. 192 kilobits, suitable for rebroadcast for our fine list of affiliates. Feeds.feedburner.com/Media Monarchy HD. And you know where to find me. Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, YouTube, Yahoo, Gmail, Skype, Instant Messenger, iTunes, RadioForAll.net, and Archive.org. All with Media Monarchy as your keyword. We always keep the breaking news page open, so when news breaks, we can try and fix it. March unemployment rate unchanged at 9.7. U.S. enhances air security checks. So further violations of your own basic decency and, you know, one of those civil rights. Yeah. Like we said last week, repeatedly, if you tolerate this, your children will be next. So yes, my friends, it is Good Friday, mere days away from Easter. And I'm sure I've played the clip for you in the past of the late, great Bill Hicks' take on Easter, where we celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ by telling our children that a giant bunny rabbit left chocolate eggs in the night. So it being the second, that of course means yesterday was April Fool's Day. And that's how we want to get into this show. With a little bit of fooling, but of course, as we've always said, such as when we're featuring clips or articles or videos from The Onion. Satire can sometimes be the best weapon, the best remedy for all that we're facing. And our first article is no exception, coming from Signs of the Times. That's SOTT.net. Sudden mass American enlightenment puzzles Congress and causes national security alert. April 1st, Dateline Washington, President Obama, U.S. congressmen and their aides held an emergency four-hour-long meeting Wednesday to decide what action to take to stem a sudden and unprecedented mass enlightenment of the U.S. population that threatens to destabilize the government and create a fiscal crisis. Millions of citizens jubilantly celebrated their new awareness as they suddenly realized they have been lied to all their lives on just about everything by their psychopathic, conscienceless leaders of major corporations, government, and security agencies. Residents in all major cities across the United States awoke, complaining that they were experiencing an inexplicable mental clarity that was causing them to realize the way they were about to spend their day was utterly pointless, a potential health threat, and it would only add energy and finances to a powerful, wealthy elite that had been ruling their lives since as long as they could remember. Congress was thrown into chaos when a majority of staff decided to simply stop showing up for work until their bosses resign. In a move of solidarity, energy companies turn off the power to government buildings and military bases, while water companies shut down their water supply. Repair people refused to carry out repairs for the politically well-connected, and TV network staff refused to report the lies they are routinely ordered to tell by their editors. People are leaving the cities in droves and en masse have established themselves on previously restricted government land. This resulted in a veritable frenzy of house building and barn raising parties, followed once again by barbecues where homemade pickles were enjoyed by all. The reasons for the mass awakening are yet unclear. One possible explanation has been given by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, where officials have discovered that the normally high levels of fluoride added to the nation's drinking water were accidentally omitted. It's suspected that workers at plants are responsible. Government health officials have advised all citizens to carry on working as normal, eat lots of fast food, and stay glued to their TV sets in the hope that any thoughts generated in people by seeing the reality of the situation will be pacified by toxins, apathy, and a return to the steady atrophy of their brains. Citizens have been urged by the Obama administration to report anyone they witness behaving in a non-consumer capitalist manner to Homeland Security, who, with the help of FEMA, will permanently detain anyone found more than 5 meters from a television screen. Sudden mass enlightenment puzzles Congress and causes national security alert. A great satirical, tongue-in-cheek way to get started on this Good Friday, episode 164, April 2nd, 2010, of MediaMonarchy.com. We have so much to go over. Metro blasts and Christian militias and Catholic crimes, all that and so much more. We're going to get started by going over the April 1st news purge under the April skies. Massive headlines, and again, returning listeners, of course, I thank you and welcome you back to the show. I apologize sometimes if things get repetitive for you guys, but I feel compelled sometimes to explain things because hopefully, ideally, there are new folks listening all the time. We're nonpartisan here. Both sides completely corrupt, controlled. They prop each other up. The names change, the faces change, but the agenda of control rolls forward. One party's in favor, one party's out of favor, one party goes to sleep, the other party gets energized. And yet, the war, the surveillance, the spying, the lies, the robbery outright continues, unabated. We've noted, especially in the last several weeks, the recent chorus demonizing essentially the web, essentially alternative media, essentially people who are trying to get to the story behind the stories. What we try and do here, to give you the text and the context and the subtext. The mainstream media isn't all lies, but they don't give you the backstory. They know your attention span is down to zero. What I'm basically saying is there's so much news on MediaMonarchy.com, I am unable to do it justice on the live show here. But this is the bite-sized way for us to read all this information into the record and data mine information. And we spread the word. And we help each other. I should also mention, of course, a huge thanks to all of you who donated to MediaMonarchy.com during our Media Monarchy Money March. Your $10 donation gets you the new Whistleblower DVD-ROM, 2020 Hindsight, Censorship on the Front Line from Richard Andrew Grove and TragedyandHope.com. Everyone who has donated to Media Monarchy, your DVD plus some extras are all out. They're all out in the mail, coming soon to a mailbox near you all around the world. Mailing things as close as just up the coast in Oregon and as far away as Norway and South Africa. Amazing. So let me remind you that we are still taking donations, and your donations help support Media Monarchy, pay for the domain names, pay my DJ dues, and any other things that may arise to help build and grow Media Monarchy. But I digress. So we're looking at the April 1st news purge. Under the April skies, we're going to go over everything from war horrors to murder and mayhem, history mystery, econo crash, bio wars, enviro health. But first, the latest 9/11 updates. New York forensic experts to re-examine WTC rubble. But not for why you may think. New York forensic experts will start a major new search Monday through debris from the World Trade Center for remains of people killed in the 9/11 terrorist attacks. About 844 cubic yards of material recovered from the reconstruction site at Ground Zero will be combed for bones and other remains of the 2,752 people killed when hijackers slammed planes into the Twin Towers on September 11th, 2001, a catalyzing catastrophic event that over the previous nearly 9 years, millions of people have dedicated their lives to exposing the lies of the official story of 9/11. That material is going to be sifted to see if there are any human remains, said Jason Post, spokesman for Bloomberg. We're taking every step we can to recover the remains of 9/11 victims. Experts, including anthropologists, will hand-check the material in the $1.4 million operation, which could go on as long as 3 months, at a closed location at a landfill on Staten Island. Would that be the Fresh Kills landfill? I believe we mentioned last week that cab driver arrested for terror connected to Al Qaeda. The update by way of the declassified blog on Newsweek: a new FBI terrorism case provides a rare nugget of intel about Osama bin Laden. The Al-Qaeda leader is alive, well, and personally giving the orders for the terror group's operations, according to comments made by an alleged American Al-Qaeda operative on a secret bureau recording. The bureau's case against the alleged operative, a Chicago cab driver named Raja Larsib Khan, has so far gotten little attention. That's likely because there's no evidence that the cabbie's alleged discussions about blowing up an American stadium with remote-controlled bombs this summer, secretly recorded by the FBI, had progressed beyond the talking stage. And as we will see, whenever you get the feds involved, you get provocateured situations time and time again. Is this one of those cases? We don't know yet. But we're pointing it out because they're still trying to tell us that Osama bin Laden is not only alive and not killed. Some say pre-9/11, kidney failure. Lots of military commanders say we killed him in the Tora Bora offensive in fall of 2001. Emmanuel Goldstein still lives, still boogie boogies to keep you scared. But of course we know the FBI's most wanted poster of Osama bin Laden makes no reference to 9/11 because they have, quote, no hard evidence, end quote, connecting Emmanuel Goldstein. An excellent piece by way of 9/11blogger.com, but I believe it's basically a full chapter from the recent book from Mark Gaffney, the 9/11mysteryplane.com. How the FBI and 9/11 Commission suppressed key evidence about Hani Hanjour. He would be the alleged hijack pilot of American Airlines Flight 77. You know that plane that disappeared, returned. Someone executed an amazing Top Gun event to get Flight 77 allegedly into the Pentagon. But of course we know, and this article chapter is all well sourced. Let's see, 35 sources and footnotes. Hani Hanjour was a poor student. The guy who ran the flight school said he was never going to be a pilot, and you are wasting our resources. He flunked a test mere weeks before 9/11, but somehow in just a few short weeks, he became such an expert pilot that other, again, career, retired, lifelong military pilots say, damn, I don't think I could have done that. Sheila Casey, writing for Rock Creek Free Press, has a new article posted up on Redacted News. 9/11 Truth goes prime time, and we have covered this, that in recent weeks, 9/11 Truth has burst into the mainstream media back in a way not seen in the 9 years since the attacks. Although much of the coverage has been in the form of dismissive hit pieces, the fact that the controversy about 9/11 is being covered at all has the effect of legitimizing challenges to the official story. This article goes on to mention the recent flurry of stories about 9/11 in mainstream media. The right-wing, Mooney-owned Washington Times published a 344-word article about architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth. We had the John Patrick Bedell allegedly opens fire at the Pentagon Metro stop. Of course, he was noted as being a 9/11 conspiracy theorist, thus conflating fringe, psychologically damaged individuals and connecting it all. If you got questions about 9/11, if you don't like the Federal Reserve, if you think that the health scare bill was just the latest in an amazing series of power grabs, well, you must be a violent homegrown terrorist. We, of course, Ahmadinejad again and again and again, calling 9/11 a big lie. Washington Post carried an editorial criticizing Japanese politician Yugihisa Fujita for his challenges to the official 9/11 story, and then they even published Fujita's rebuttal, at least. ABC's Nightline did a segment about truth seekers at the Treason in America conference in Valley Forge, PA. Amazing footage came out of that of what they would and wouldn't show. Jesse Ventura, of course, his new book, American Conspiracies, making the rounds on all the mainstream media shows. And on and on. Again, when we were criticizing the previous puppet, oh, I'm a crazy liberal. But now that we're doing the same thing to the current selected puppet, oh, I'm a crazy conservative. No. That's how they keep us in the box, so to speak. And again, the names may change and the faces may change, but we're not going to stop asking questions about 9/11. It's the blank check that lets, to this day, the Prince of Peace Prize wage endless wars of aggression, spy on you, scan your naked body at the airport, dump out your water, take off your shoes, biometric stops by local police, and so many other things, essentially most of the things that we're going to cover today, all thanks to the blank check of 9/11. You want to end the war? Which again, now that the Democrats are in, and of course there was a protest recently, there were thousands of people in D.C., protesting that war the Dems used to be against, but now that their guy's in, they go back to sleep, and now the other side gets energized. Again from 911blogger.com, conspiracy theory or conspiracy fact, assisting the 9/11 hijackers and their Saudi agent babysitters, close to the Bush family, in secret meetings with the head of the CIA, Prince Bandar. The common link between the hijackers, Saudi intelligence, U.S. intelligence, and the Bush administration. Even the tip of the iceberg. Limited hangout. Fahrenheit 9/11. Breaks down the Prince Bandar. Bandar Bush, they call him. Our last note of 9/11 updates is another bit of good news. Ed Asner voices new Architects and Engineers 9/11 Truth ads running in New York.
A recently published scientific paper found engineered high explosive in every sample of World Trade Center dust. This is Ed Asner. Please join me in supporting Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth in their quest for a new independent investigation. Visit ae911truth.org today and see the explosive evidence yourself.
Ed Asner doing a 9/11 Truth ad. And again, that's no small deal. Ed Asner is a huge actor. He was the president of the Screen Actors Guild for a long time. That's no fringe nut job. He was Lou Grant on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. So again, my friends, we bring you all the latest 9/11 updates every week, because again, it was the catalyzing, catastrophic event that has put us where we are today. It's what woke me up, made me start paying attention, and again, nearly 9 years later, here we are. Let's move to the next subheading, BioWars Enviro Health. Whistleblower warns of bio threats at Census Center. This is a disturbing story that unfortunately we probably won't hear the last of. This comes from bioprepwatch.com. The National Processing Center in Jeffersonville, Kentucky, is charged with processing the millions of census forms that are arriving at its doors. Packed in with those census forms, however, have been more than census forms, leading to many questions about the safety of the facility. Quote, many, many envelopes that contain material, a whistleblower speaking on behalf of an employee at the center told WHAS11.com, quote, nasty notes, things that are spilled onto the documents, bodily fluids in some cases, things that are powdery substance, sand, and they open the envelopes and this material will come out. This ties in, of course, again, the demonization of the average American who is finally realizing that they pretty much have been lied to all their lives on just about everything that matters. Again, fringe people on all sides of political spectrums are being energized. I'm sure in a lot of these events, whether it's vandalizing or threatening congressmen or situations like this, that I'm sure we will discover provocateur involvement, false flag events. But as we've said many, many times, even if that isn't the case, it still helps to set the table to demonize the average American that, again, as things continue to fall apart, as we're being robbed blind, some people are going to get mad. But as we've said time and time again, the moment you go violent, you lose. That's what they want. That's why they provocateur violent events, because it gives them the political capital, if you will, to use violence in retaliation. Psychiatric doctor wrote 1,000 scripts a week for psychotropic drugs. That's from naturalnews.com as well, from Natural News. Big Pharma planning to dump experimental and controversial vaccines in public schools. Of course, we're now nearly, if we're not already, over a year from the initial return of the swine flu and all the Big Pharma tainted vaccine and greasing the palms. Nobody wanted them. They got to make a profit somehow. Recall how Bayer dumped their Factor VIII drug. Once it was discovered that it was tainted with HIV, they couldn't sell it in America, so they dumped it on those dirty foreigners. Fact. From Cryptagon, neuroscientists don't believe in souls, but that doesn't mean they can't sell theirs. To the Pentagon. China rushes to bomb its clouds as rice prices spike 10% in a month. Again, geoengineering the atmosphere. This in a somewhat rudimentary form. EPA proposes veto of major U.S. mountaintop removal site in southern West Virginia, in Logan County. Of course, I am from southern West Virginia, born and raised, 28 years in West Virginia, 5 years here in Portland, Oregon. Oh, yes, and of course, we should mention that I'm, of course, not a sports fan, but I am a West Virginia fan, and of course, yes, West Virginia's basketball team from WVU in Morgantown made it to the Final Four. Not exactly the kind of positive news I'd like to see about my state, but I suppose I kind of have to take what I can get. The last EnviroHealth note, a level 3 earthquake felt in eastern Maine. Again, we've been tracking the massive earth change events that have been going on above us and below us, as above, so below, if you will. But on to the econo crash. Manager of world's biggest sovereign wealth fund missing after glider crash. CFTC whistleblower injured in London hit and run. Bank of America and Wells Fargo may pay no taxes for 2009. The Rothschilds bring in an outsider to run the show. That is the headline from the New York Times. And Washington's blog notes a quote from Harold Bradley, who oversees almost $2 billion in assets as chief investment officer at the Kauffman Foundation, told the Reuters Global Exchange and Trading Summit in New York that a cabal is preventing derivatives from being forced onto clearing exchanges, saying, quote, "I believe we are in a cabal. There are five or six players only who are engaged and dominant in this marketplace, and apparently they own the regulatory apparatus. Everybody is afraid to regulate them." End quote. Even the insiders now noting that this is a cabal. A few amazing headlines under the history mystery note. First from allgov.com, FBI releases files kept in a room filled with secrets. After concealing highly secretive investigations for more than 60 years, the FBI has released a small volume of documents from its little-known special file room in the District of Criminals. The room, created by FBI director and cross-dresser J. Edgar Hoover, was first established in 1948 and has held files containing info on threats to the nation as well as domestic spying on the nation. The confidential documents include info about American radar designed to spy on the Soviet military and evacuation plans for Washington in case of attack. Speaking of West Virginia, other records cover potential threats to smuggle nuclear weapons into the U.S. Some of the files have details about spying on U.S. allies during the Cold War, like Greece, Panama, Guatemala, Dominican Republic, Nicaragua, and Sweden. The FBI, of course, also spied on gay rights groups in the 1950s and 60s. Other files refer to Adlai Stevenson, Frank Sinatra, Jimmy Hoffa, Adolf Kors, the assassination of RFK, the still unexplained crash of Pan Am Flight on November 8, 1957, sex perverts in the government, and proposed plan for intel coverage in Alaska in the event of an invasion. The secret file room is still in use today. Only a small portion of its records have been revealed, thanks to an anonymous researcher who turned over hundreds of documents to the Boston Globe. They are now available online at governmentattic.org. And AllGov does have the PDF linked up from governmentattic.org. I believe it's nearly a 20 meg PDF file. An interesting note from henrymaycal.com, and we've noted this before, that a lot of this is, well, like an onion, with the layers, that again, the more you peel, the more you end up crying. And we've talked about wanting to get back to the Founding Fathers and the Constitution, but we sometimes wonder whether or not this whole American enterprise wasn't a setup to begin with. Wealthy, landowning, secret society males. Illuminati created U.S. to advance the New World Order. Again, an interesting article from henrymaycal.com. On a different note, Haiti's 1804 original Declaration of Independence has been found. That's coming from News Junkie Post. McVeigh and the Hispanic Man. What did the feds know? Of course, we are coming up on, Jesus, it's going to be the 15th anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing here in just a few short weeks. And of course, we always note once we get to the middle of April, we will see and we will cover and break down the massive rise in what we've called the mass murder contagion. The copycat effect. Columbine, Waco, Virginia Tech. Just some of the events that all seem to swirl around Patriots Day, Hitler's birthday, 420, on and on and on. The last note on History Mystery from the Huffington Post, ancient Egyptian door to the afterlife found. This, of course, ties in with things that we discuss on cyberspace war, inner space, outer space, the memes coming back. Archaeologists unearthed a 3,500-year-old door to the afterlife from a tomb of a high-ranking Egyptian official near the Karnak Temple in Luxor. These recessed niches found in nearly all ancient Egyptian tombs were meant to take the spirits of the dead to and from the afterworld. And on to that aforementioned murder and mayhem. CPS warrior Nancy Schaefer gunned down in an alleged murder-suicide situation. State investigators said the husband of former State Senator Nancy Schaefer shot his wife before turning the gun on himself. Corporate media doesn't bother to mention that Schaefer exposed the abuses of CPS, Child Protective Services, and the International Child Sex Slavery Ring. So we have more and more from InfoWars, as well as a video going back to May of last year, where now the late Nancy Schaefer, in an interview on the Alex Jones Show, breaks down, of course, the child kidnapping services, child trafficking, sex slavery rings that, again, go from the disgusting things that happen on a local and regional level to the international level, where we see giant private military contractors that have been busted time and time again for being involved in child kidnapping and sex slavery. At least 9 people shot in random shooting in the District of Criminals. Speaking of, D.C. Metro officials waited to announce 2 cases of rape. There have already been several rapes in the District of Criminals so far this year. The Metro keeping some of them secret. Of course, they like to keep that kind of thing secret, but of course, as we're going to see in a little while, when they want to roll out the police state, they make no secret of stormtroopers shoving guns in your face, acclimating you. From copycateffect.blogspot.com, 21-year-old Yale student from Austin, Texas, jumps off the 86th floor of the Empire State Building and kills himself. Lauren Coleman of Copycat Effect always does a good job of pointing out some of the names and the numbers and the dates and the clusters, something he calls Twilight language. So when you get a Yale student from Austin, which of course seems to be the scene of a lot of strange activities lately, the Joe Stackus attack, crashing the plane into the IRS building. What, the repo man hacking into automobile immobilization units? And on and on. The 86th floor, which of course to 86-something means to end it. And of course the Empire State. The last note on murder and mayhem, abortion doctor's murderer gets life in prison. That is Scott Roeder. You'll recall last year he killed George Tiller. That again follows with this growing and growing and growing wave of what we call on Media Monarchy homegrown errorism. The last subheading on this April 1st news purge, under the April skies, it's the war horrors, AFRICOM, the U.S. military's growing role in Africa. That's from News Junkie Post. AFRICOM exists, just like NORTHCOM and STRATCOM and CENTCOM and CYBERCOM. Michael Chertoff, ex-Homeland Stupidity Director, and of course Chertoff, we believe in Russian, means son of the devil. He joined, you know, that's the revolving door. Private sector, private military contractors, then you get appointed to the government, then you can give your buddies contracts. Gangsters. Chertoff joins BAE Systems. That would be one of the defense firms that's defrauded the U.S. More on that from AllGov. U.S. and Russia finalize landmark nuclear arms treaty. We mentioned that last week. Of course, that gets grand headlines. But, of course, our continued support in the apartheid state of Israel gets no mention. Billions of dollars. Leaked CIA report notes that, quote, public apathy enables leaders to ignore voters. And that, of course, lets them wage endless wars. The UK Ministry of Defense has published their green strategy. The Air Force debuted their biofuel-guzzling warthog, which we're going to touch on again when we get to the Prince of Peace. U.S. war zone commanders spend billions of dollars a year in cash. An interesting link to Facebook page, photo page, of the Michigan Recruit Sustainment Program that shows them wearing really familiar-looking blue helmets. Again, acclimating the troops to wear the blue helmet of the United Nations, of a nascent world army. U.S. test fires Trident missile in a drill with the Saudis. And finally, Israeli warplanes pound the Gaza Strip. Again, with help from you and your tax dollars. Your fraudulently collected tax dollars on money that's created out of thin air by a group of private central banks that loan money to the government, and we pay it back at interest. All surplus is privatized. All debt is socialized. We fund any and every tin pot dictator whenever there's a democratically leaning world leader, generally, usually educated in the West, that wants to be a leader for the people. Of course, we can't have stable nations when we're trying to wage international wars of aggression for resources and control. And of course, we do it for God, gold, oil, and drugs. Billions. And again, as we've noted, if they wanted to really give us health care, they could deliver it in the same shock and awe fashion that we delivered death and destruction around the world for a fraction of the cost. But no, can't have that. So it is Bad Friday, and it's been quite the bad last several weeks for the criminally corrupt Catholic Church. Our next post, Geopolitics, Catholic Criminals, U.S. Reel, and more. The "and more" is going to include things from Germany and London and South Africa and Iran and Israel. But let's take a listen to a clip from two guys who, again, can be so right on some things but so wrong on others. Bill Maher and Christopher Hitchens on the Vatican and the wiggle room that they want for the rape and torture continually of children.
I know people are saying right away, because the Catholic Church is going through so much pain this week, oh, Bill booked his atheist buddy, Christopher Hitchens, so they can glow.
Yes.
So let's start.
And they were right.
We had you booked for a long time.
No, because the last time you had me on, I warned them about all this, and I said, in my earlier book, I said, nothing good can come of a church which has as its slogan, leave no child behind. And then they went, and chose as Pope the man who was personally responsible in his diocese and institutionally responsible for the cover-up. So now there's no escape. Yeah.
But honestly, anybody who became Pope had been a cardinal at some point, had been an archbishop at some point. Wouldn't they have had the same problem? They probably were in some diocese where some cover-up went on. I mean, what we're finding out this week is that this problem of molestation wasn't just an American problem. Yeah. That's what they first said. It's a worldwide problem.
True, but the last Pope, I'm not a Roman Catholic, but the last Pope was a man of honor in some respect.
I agree, John Paul, yeah.
And, I know there were terrible things in the diocese, but it's never been said that it was drawn to his attention, and he moved the guy to be in range of further children.
Right.
That's what is said about the Pope with his own diocese in Munich. And then now we hear yesterday that the...
Well, he was Polish.
It's almost disgusting to even say that the people who ran a school for the deaf in Wisconsin invite the little deaf children into the confessional and then molest them. And people were complaining directly to the office that was run by Ratzinger at that point. And he met it with a cold silence. The only worry he had was, would this damage the church? Would it hurt the church, not the children? And they repeatedly refused. Now, what I want to know is this. What is the Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin now going to do? Are we going to say these people are above our law? I appeal to people. I mean, that's what's being asked for.
That really...
If you're a clergyman, you're not liable to the laws on... Let's call it child abuse. It's the rape and torture of children.
Yes, and you know, it's funny because in this society especially, the worst thing anybody can ever do in the eyes of not just the law, but public opinion, even in prisons,
yeah,
there is a hierarchy of crimes. The child molesters are the ones who even hardened criminals shun or actually kill.
Suppose you and I are having a martini. It's thinkable.
Oh.
It's thinkable. And you say to me, Hick, have you been in trouble with the law? And I say, well, and I ask you, and you say, well, there was that thing with the joint, there was that thing of the traffic lights, there was that time I was really short of money, and you know, the Bank of Santa Monica, and you know, I think, okay, all right, we're all human. But if you say, and I had some friends once who had two little boys, and they trusted me as a babysitter, and I, boy, I had a lot of fun with those kids.
Yeah.
You want to have lunch next Friday? No, I don't.
Right.
And
you get the OJ treat.
Of the one crime that no one can think about without vomiting, that's the one that the great moral church wants
so
wiggle room for. So we can't allow that, I don't think.
Since there's nobody here who will... Since there's nobody here who will take the opposite, you know, point of view, the pro-child molestation point of view. No, but I mean, Catholics, I know what Catholics say, because I hear them and you probably hear them too, which is, you know, it's a small percentage, you can't tar the whole institution. What do you say to that? Well, what is the answer?
I say that it is actually quite a large percentage, but it could be smaller. But the thing is that they're covered up for. I mean, the man who ran the school for the torture and rape of deaf children in Wisconsin was allowed to walk free and to be buried with full honors, as it please. Right. Even though there's only one of them, they thought their job when the complaint came up was to protect him, not the children. That tells you everything. Furthermore, this present Pope, Mr. Ratzinger, is the head of a state, a political state in Africa,
yeah,
as well as of the church. So it's not just that the spiritual leader of a big cult is a proven protector of child molesters, but the head of a government is, with has an embassy in Washington. Well, can he land here?
Can he land here? Or would he be treated like a war criminal like Henry Kissinger abroad? So let's get a little bit of the backstory on this and jump back to March 21st on independent.co.uk. Vatican confirms report of sexual abuse and rape of nuns by priests in 23 countries. Most of the abuse has occurred in Africa, where priests vowed to celibacy who previously sought out prostitutes have preyed on nuns to avoid getting AIDS. Confidential Vatican reports obtained by the National Catholic Reporter, a weekly magazine in the U.S., have revealed that members of the Catholic clergy have been exploiting their financial and spiritual authority to gain sexual favors from nuns, particularly those from the Third World who are more likely to be culturally conditioned to be subservient for men, to men. So that actually sounds like another angle. That's abuse and rape of essentially their own people. Again, nuns. And Hitchens made reference to, of course, that Joey Ratz, who, one, has been proven to cover up abuse cases, was in the Hitler Youth as a boy. His excuse was that he had to. There's a great documentary called, some places I believe it's called Empire of the City, The Ring of Power. But it basically, one of the main things it points out is that, of course, there are three city-states, nation-states, that perhaps really run things behind the scenes. We have the District of Columbia. That would be the military power. We have the City of London. That would be the money power. And we have Vatican City. That would be the religious power. And generally, between one or all three of those ways, that's how the control continues through the generations. Ignoring child rape scandals, the Pope says faith means not being intimidated by quote-unquote petty gossip. And we do find that, of course, a lot of their excuses for these rapes, or the justification, is that, well, we're not, there's a lot of other people that do it. Of course, we've already mentioned CPS. That's your defense. UK protesters demand Pope quits over abuse. That's from the AP. And again, someone who can be so right on some things and so crushingly wrong on others, Matt Taibbi, of course, exposing Goldman Sachs, the great American bubble machine, and right here, noting on TrueSlant.com that the Catholic Church is a criminal enterprise. But then he will then turn around and say that Osama bin Laden carried out 9/11 and it's all exactly like they told us. The last note on the Catholic criminals, Pope urges bygones in the man-boy sex scandal. That's from yellowdailynews.com. Again, saying, let's not pay attention to this. Let's move forward. Mumbai terrorist was U.S. agent. You may have heard of a man named David Coleman Headley. After terrorist conspirator and former U.S. government agent David Headley received promises of leniency and extradition protection from American prosecutors for his role in the 2008 Mumbai massacre, speculation about his true masters were set ablaze as outrage erupted across India. Headley, a former Drug Enforcement Administration agent and the son of a Pakistani diplomat, pled guilty to various criminal charges on March 18th in connection with his terrorist activities in India, Pakistan, and Denmark. He is reportedly cooperating with investigators. Headley admitted in the plea bargain that he helped plan the bloody massacre by conducting surveillance and selecting targets, gathering GPS coordinates for the terrorist team's boat landing along the coast, and more. The plea deal and the lack of American cooperation immediately sparked fury and despair in India, as the U.S. is reportedly bound by treaty to surrender Headley to Indian authorities. The terrorist group he was known to be working with, the ISI-linked Pakistani Lashkar-e-Taiba, ISI being the Pakistani Inter-Services Intelligence Agency, set up by the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency. That would bring up Bandar again, I suppose. Some of his friends referred to him as a U.S. agent, jokingly. A former agent. Again, whenever we see massive, huge terror events, again, as we've noted, the kinds that get their own special graphics on the 24/7 corporate-controlled media, inevitably, the story falls apart, and we find that provocateurs and informants were involved in the group, funding and radicalizing them, giving them weapons, getting them to say stupid things on tape. And a lot of times we find those busted are of low-level intelligence and would never have been able to pull off the event had they not been shepherded every step of the way. Underpants bomber, we're looking at you. And everything before and after. We, of course, have noted extensively that ever since the Christmas Day underpants bombing event, everything has been ratcheted up. And again, that story's been completely blown out of the water. Not on the front of the newspaper, but it's all been admitted. Also on David Headley from the New York Times, American terror suspect traveled unimpeded. Russian geopolitical analyst notes that World War III has already begun. Athens bombs follow the Russian Moscow metro attack, which we are going to get to shortly. That's from InfoWars. UK RAF, that's the Royal Air Force, jets scrambled twice last month for terror alerts. That's from The Guardian. UK tabloid News of the World says Israel forged thousands of IDs. We have covered that. That's coming from Ynet News out of Israel. New York Rep. Nita Lowey assures Israel no worries about the $3 billion coming in aid funding. We have an Iran nuclear scientist defecting to the U.S. in a so-called intelligence coup by the CIA. And of course, seeing CIA and coup in the same sentence is nothing new. But that could be yet another suspect report from ABC News' Brian Ross. Gordon New World Order Brown could remain a prime minister if the Queen blocks the second general election. And that's from the Daily Mail. Resurrecting some arcane law where Elizabeth Beast herself could block a second general election, of course, that would remove the despised Brown. South Africa to kick homeless people off the streets before the World Cup. Tories promised to create a neighborhood army. That's from the BBC. And lastly, from Skull and Bones' own Time magazine, in gentrifying Berlin, revenge of the anarchists. And my friends, that first hour flew by. Still so very much to go over. But let me now remind you and take a moment. You're listening to episode 164 of Media Monarchy. My name is James M. Pilato, your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com. It's the 2nd of April, 2010, and we are broadcasting and recording live from the Portland Radio Authority, PRARadio.org. And again, thanks to our fine list of affiliates, ZeroPointRadio.com, RevereRadio.net, LaughlinRadio.com, FROlympia.org, BerkeleyLiberationRadio.net, PhantomRadio.org, OneSkyRadio.com, CascadiaPublicRadio.org, and Radio23.org. We have noted extensively again, to overuse that word, over the last year, in year one of Barry Satoru, Obamasiah, Prince of Peace Prizes, reign. That the media and the public and everybody is getting high on the idea of legalization. And we've noted that Obama wasn't going to end the war, wasn't going to repeal the Patriot Act, wasn't going to do any of that shit you thought he was going to do, but we might be able to get high while everything falls apart. Clyde Lewis recently noted on GroundZeroMedia.org on his show on KUFO 101.1 FM here in Portland, Oregon. Of course, the archives of those shows available from ZeroPointRadio.com. That perhaps the legalization of marijuana may tie into what is called Codex Alimentarius and the complete demonization and outlawing of other naturopathic remedies. Legalizing marijuana, the Golden State's pot of gold. Ahead of statewide vote in November, marijuana legalization battle heats up in California. Last week, a ballot initiative to legalize marijuana possession by adults qualified for the California ballot, the Regulate, Control, and Tax Cannabis Act of 2010, is coming up for a vote. More on that from taxcannabis.org. While all the standard, well-worn pot jokes and cliches were quickly pressed into service, it's becoming obvious that unlike failed legislation initiatives in the past, of which California has had at least two, this debate will center around money. California has once again become the focal point for a long-running battle over liberalizing the pot laws. Observers predict plenty of money will be spent by both sides in an attempt to either launch or squash what many see as an inevitable national trend. The cultural and financial landscape has changed a lot since legalization was last on the California ballot in 1996, especially since medical marijuana passed that same year and helped to reshape popular perceptions of the herb's usefulness. That the pace of change was given new impetus by the Obama administration's announcement last year, that would be in October of 2009, flashback to MediaMonarchy.com, feds to issue new medical marijuana policy. Federal drug agents are being instructed to lay off pot patients and providers in states where medical marijuana is legal, such as Oregon. The initiative, which we have linked up and you can download as a PDF, would legalize possession, sharing, and transport of up to an ounce of pot for personal use by adults 21 and over. Marijuana could be privately grown in spaces of up to 25 square feet. Marijuana would still be banned in public places and in the presence of minors. Local governments, but not the state, could impose marijuana taxes to raise revenues. Cities and counties could authorize cultivation, transportation, and sale of pot, and in a controversial provision, could also locally ban marijuana. We, of course, can't get back into all the ins and outs of the phony drug war, and of course the idea that it's a plant. Making it illegal is sort of like saying God made a mistake, or nature made a mistake. One comment on this post, interestingly enough, from Tom Deegan, and he runs the rant, tomdeegan.blogspot.com. Nearly three quarters of a century after it was made illegal, half a century after it was proven to be practically harmless, why is it still a crime to possess and smoke marijuana? Here's a list of 10 famous people who died as a result of cigarettes. Bogart, Murrow, Nat King Cole, George Harrison, John Huston, Noel Coward, Betty Grable, Walt Disney, Gary Cooper, Peter Jennings. Here's a list of 10 people who died from liquor. Billie Holiday, Jack Kerouac, Truman Capote, Lorenz Hart, Veronica Lake, Bix Beiderbecke, Montgomery Clift, Dylan Thomas, John Barrymore, Errol Flynn. Now here's a list of celebrities who've died from pot. Oh, that's right. We can't name any. Because no one's ever died from it. If you can come up with somebody dying from it, we'll shut up. Is it a gateway drug, as they never tire of reminding us? You can make an argument that maybe it is. But so is PBR. And ciggies and booze have absolutely no medicinal value. Marijuana has. Think about it. Why are we still having this stupid conversation? So that's definitely what the late, great Bill Hicks would call a positive drug story. And that's not too far away from where I sit here in the People's Republic of Oregon. So as long as we're on a sort of health tip, we'll move to our next post. And again, positive news. We cover this story on the latest episode of The New World Next Week, my weekly 10-minute YouTube series with James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. Judge invalidates human gene patent. A federal judge on Monday struck down patents on two genes linked to breast and ovarian cancer. The decision, if upheld, could throw into doubt The decision, if upheld, could throw into doubt the patents covering thousands of human genes and reshape the law of intellectual property. United States District Court Judge Robert W. Sweet issued the 152-page decision, with the PDF download linked for you, which invalidated seven patents related to the genes BRCA1 and 2, whose mutations have been associated with cancer. The ACLU and the Public Patent Foundation at the Benjamin Cardoza School of Law in New York joined with individual patients and medical organizations to challenge the patents last May. They argued that genes, products of nature, fall outside the realm of things that can be patented. The patents, they argue, stifle research and innovation and limit testing options. Myriad Genetics, the company that holds the patents with the University of Utah Research Foundation, asked the court to dismiss the case, claiming that the work isolating the DNA from the body transforms it and makes it patentable. Such patents, it said, have been granted for decades. Supreme Court upheld patents on living organisms in 1980. That would be the Diamond Chakrabarty case. In fact, in the patent field, many in the patent field had predicted the courts would throw out the case. Judge Sweet, however, ruled that the patents were improperly granted because they involved a law of nature. He said that many critics of gene patents considered the idea that isolating a gene made it patentable. It's a lawyer's trick that circumvents the prohibition on the direct patenting of the DNA in our bodies, but which in practice reaches the same result. This case could have far-reaching implications. About 20% of human genes have been patented, and multi-billion dollar industries have been built atop the intellectual property rights that patents grant. We do have two related updates. Gene patents may not survive breast cancer test ruling, and judge strikes fear into the biotech industry with nullifications on patents on human genes. So many other links to give you more information. Again, we give you the text, the context, and the subtext on the stories. If it's a new report, I'm going to do the extra work and find that PDF for you to get that report. AP News, Singularity Hub, New York Times, University of Utah, ACLU, press releases, foodfreedom.wordpress.com. And again, this relates directly to the situation of marijuana. It's been illegal because the companies can't patent it because it's a natural organism. We also note on that latest New World Next Week episode, the Diamond Chakrabarty case, where a scientist, Indian scientist, I believe, created some kind of living organisms that cleaned oil. An oil eater, if you will. And that patent was granted, setting the precedent to patent living things. We note that's one of the two that we note of horrible examples of court rulings in United States history. The other, of course, being the corporate personhood ruling. The Southern Pacific Railroad case, where a skull and bones judge gave a ruling that essentially was interpreted as meaning that corporations aren't people. We note time and time again the documentary The Corporation. Okay, so if corporation is a person, let's put that person on an analyst couch and see what kind of person they're like. What we see is that they're complete sociopaths. Act with reckless disregard to their own well-being as well as all of those around them. They don't learn from their mistakes. Generally, if they were a person, you wouldn't want to hang out with them. Now, our next article, and again, speaking of James Corbett, while we were just after the recording of the latest New World Next Week episode, he asked me something about this next post we're going to mention. That apparently, I'd grabbed it from what turned out to be a racist site called EU Times. Now, sometimes on the weekend, when I've posted up the new episodes and I've done tons of work and I hit Friday evening, I just have to kind of take a break. And then Saturday rolls around and I think I got to get something, you know, I have to keep the site updated. Because unfortunately, I can always see the direct correlation between the more I post, the more hits I get. So it's kind of a game sometimes, one that runs me down. So needless to say, sometimes I'm hasty. And posted up this article that, again, thanks to James Corbett, pointed out the fact that, you might want to look at that website. And then, of course, I did. And, oh, geez, how did I miss the European Pride subheadings and all the like? So I didn't delete the post, because the article is still valid, and we're still going to go over it. I just deleted my links to the site. World mourns as communist darkness falls upon America. This now coming by way of beforeitsnews.com. This, of course, goes back to health scare. In what's being described as one of the most astounding power grabs in modern history by newspaper headlines around the world, Obama succeeded in his audacious plan to remake America into a full-fledged godless communist empire barely 1 year into his term with the enactment into law by the U.S. Congress of his mammoth health care plan, innocuously named H.R. 3200, Americans Affordable Health Care Choices Act of 2009, and described by one Kremlin legal expert as having, quote, nothing at all to do with health, but everything to do with control. To fully grasp the full and grim implications of this power grab over the American people with the nationalization of the entire healthcare industry and a student loan program to boot, accomplished with the passing of his new law, it must be remembered that since taking office on January 20th, 2009, he's also taken over the automobile industry, the mortgage industry, and the banking industries. And now with the internet being in his sights. So don't get bogged down in all the names and all the isms. Just look at what is done. Don't look at what they say, look at what they do. And even if you think this is all a great idea, look at other government-run organizations. As we have noted, Medicare, Medicaid, broke, bankrupt. United States Postal Service, broke, bankrupt. They might dump Saturday, they might dump 3 days. If the post office was a regular business, they would have gone out of business a long time ago. Do I want FedEx to be the big man? No. We just want some real competition. I thought that was all what the American dream and the free market and capitalism was all about. Just another power grab. And again, we noted last week in that video from Southern Avenger that, of course, both sides of the phony left-right political paradigm are to blame. They've all wanted this. Again, names may change, faces may change. The agenda of global government control moves forward. And now, my friends, we move to one of the bigger stories of the last week, in a week with no shortage of amazing, earth-shattering news, as again, everything feels like it gets ratcheted up. We've noted that again, especially since the Christmas bomber event. The color-coded schemes are rising. The threat level, if you will. Moscow Metro blasts. Another FSB inside job? Question mark. As Russia's Black Widow suicide bombers allegedly make a return, two separate bomb blasts that ripped apart trains on the Moscow metro system, killing at least 34 people during morning rush hour, blamed on female suicide bombers, but previous instances of terrorism in Russia were proven to be the work of the FSB security service itself. FSB is the Federal Security Service of Russia. We have a link for you to read their laundry list of controversies. The first explosion took place on a train after it had stopped in the Lubyanka station in central Moscow, close to the headquarters of Russia's FSB Security Service. A spokeswoman for the Russian Emergency Ministries told the AFP. The first blast at the Lubyanka metro station killed 22 and wounded 12. The second at Park Kolchery station left 12 dead and wounded 7. Russian Federal Security Service Chief Alexander Bortnikov has already blamed Chechen rebels for the attack, an explanation slavishly accepted by Western media outlets like the BBC, who are already running feature articles about the history of terrorism in Russia that completely fail to mention the FSB's direct role in almost every major attack to have taken place over the last 10 years. Since the explanation that two female suicide bombers with explosives strapped to their bodies were responsible for the bombing has come directly from the SFB, past history means we can only treat the official story with utmost suspicion. The notorious Russian FSB has a documented history of staging false flag events in order to accomplish political agendas.
An update on our breaking news. There have been two explosions on Moscow's underground metro system. Both blasts happened during the Monday morning rush hour, what authorities believe could have been a coordinated attack, although it's still not confirmed how the explosions happened. At least 22 were killed and 11 wounded in the first explosion at Lubyanka station just before 8 a.m. at Moscow time. The station is near to the Kremlin and is beneath the headquarters of the Federal Security Service. A second explosion occurred 45 minutes later at Park Kolchery station in central Moscow, killing at least 12 people and injuring 15 others. Well, both stations are on the same subway line, which has now been closed in the center of the city. Police are on high alert across the Russian capital and are investigating whether suicide bombers could be to blame. A terrorism investigation is underway. Emergency crews are at both blast sites. The wounded are being airlifted by helicopter to hospital because the surrounding roads have ground to a halt. Well, we are joined now by RT's Peter Oliver here in the studio. Tell us what you saw.
I've just made my way into the studios here in central Moscow, right next to the Park Kolchery area, and it is pretty much a scene of absolute carnage outside. A Monday morning, one of the busiest times of the day, one of the busiest areas of Moscow, completely ground to a halt, one of the, I say, busiest lines on the Moscow metro. Everybody, because of that, the two blasts that have occurred on the red line there that goes right through the centre of the city, used by a lot of people every single day. People are out on the streets walking along. Just as I arrived about 5 minutes ago, Mayor Lushkov had arrived at the Park Couture area. He was giving a speech there. He was making a statement there. So I guess we'll be hearing from him very shortly. But it is really a scene of complete and utter devastation outside.
Now, outside Park Couture, we understand, because we've seen some pictures of people being evacuated from the metro station. Did you see people's reaction? How are people coping with this?
There is really a shell-shocked look on everybody's face. It's wrong to use the comparison to the footage that everybody's familiar with of 9/11, of people walking through the streets, but that is really what we're seeing out there. I mean, I live right at the Park Couture area, just over the road from where the metro station is, and I was first came to my awareness that this was all going off when the helicopters start flying over, because no fly zone in Moscow. Hearing helicopters in the morning was very, very unusual. And yes, there's definitely it's a very bizarre atmosphere outside.
In addition to the numerous links provided in this posting to news reports from all around the world, we also have a link just over to the FSB entry on Wikipedia, where you can read about their controversy, such as the 1999 Russian apartment bombings, the FSB as ruling political elite, suppression of internal dissent, criticism of anti-terrorist operations, alleged involvement in terrorist acts, alleged involvement in organized crime, and on and on. We have an unfortunate update. 2 days later, bombs kill 12 in Russia's Dagestan region. 12 people, 9 of them police officers, were killed Wednesday when 2 bombs exploded in Russia's southern republic of Dagestan. Another 23 people, including 11 police officers, were hospitalized with wounds from the bombings, at least one of which was carried out by a suicide bomber, according to a spokesman for the Dagestan police, and Vladimir Markin, a spokesman for the investigative committee in the Russian prosecutor general's office. It happened 2 days after female suicide bombers killed at least 39 people on the Moscow metro. Now that brings us back to the homeland, if you will. And again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't deal in theories. I want facts. That, I believe, is why the site and the show is popular. So our next story brings it back to the homeland and the District of Criminals in New York City as the fear ratchets up. And we watch for things that are suspicious, because as we've noted in our investigations into 9/11 and other false flag events, some of the signs that pop up surrounding these events, that again, when you've been paying attention to it, even as much as I have, being a relatively Jimmy-come-lately to studying the New World Order, these are things that prick your ears up and make you wonder what's going on. All public safety and police radios went down in the District of Criminals. This comes from MyFoxDC.com. DC police sources told Fox 5 that radio communications were down citywide in the District of Criminals, and police officers on the street had no way to receive or respond to calls via radio. A police union spokesperson told Fox 5 that this may not even be the first time that the radio system has gone down in the last month.
And our breaking news is from the district as D.C.'s public safety radio system loses service. The breakdown has impacted the police and fire departments. It has forced both departments to go to backup plans. But at this hour, 911 service is not directly affected. Our Rebecca Cooper is live with more on the impact this is having on service and response times across the district. Rebecca?
Well, Caroline, all emergency response calls for the cities use this system. Whether you're calling for police, fire, or EMS, it's still not clear what caused the problem or when it will be fixed. But tonight, the mayor's office is saying that they have a backup plan in place and that Pepco is working to fix the problem.
Police say they are getting calls via computers and landlines and insist there is no reason for the public to be concerned. But it is a highly unusual scene tonight at Lincoln Park. Halfway between RFK Stadium and the Capitol, dozens of officers and their patrol cars have been sent here as a staging area for better communication. Meantime, the fire department immediately activated its operations center here at 6th and F Street Northwest. Senior officials came in from their stations and off duty, but already within 10 minutes, the fire department had switched to a backup communication system, using borrowed frequencies they routinely share with Arlington and Montgomery counties. Here at Ops Center, they can monitor all 911 calls coming in citywide.
We're able to see exactly what the status of the system is, so we know what's going on citywide. This becomes the center where it's sort of the pulse, if you will, or the heartbeat, perhaps it would be a better way of describing it, of the entire system.
Fire department officials say 911 calls have not been affected or response time delayed, but say this breakdown could have been a big problem tonight for the city if this backup system hadn't been in place and the ops center ready to go.
We probably operate out of this room 3 or 4 times a month whenever there's any type of a man-made or natural disaster or a large-scale incident.
We're technical.
We're a technical glitch like the one we're experiencing now.
So this operation center here at 6th and F Street, right above me at the fire department, has been used for many important occasions, whether it's the president's inauguration, the Pope's visit, or responding to the big blizzard. But it has never before been used for a computer breakdown. Reporting live in Northwest, Rebecca Cooper, ABC 7 News.
It's coming out of the district. Police safety radios are down. It's affecting communication between dispatchers and crews in the field, and it started about 4 hours ago. Fox 5's Will Thomas, live in Northwest with an update. Will.
Right, police officers and firefighters will tell you there really is no more serious technical issue in the field than when your radios don't work. You're not getting calls from 911 dispatchers. You're not able to call if you should need help. But shortly after 7 o'clock this evening, all D.C. public safety radio communications really just came to a stop. Now, we're here at Engine Company 2 here in Northwest D.C., right next to the Verizon Center, where fire and EMS officials have set up a command post. We're told within 10 minutes of the citywide outage, they switched to other frequencies from Arlington and Montgomery counties, and they were able to respond. So here are the big headlines on this developing story. It's 7:15 tonight. We're told citywide public safety radio communications came to a stop. It is possible it's a generator problem at the McMillan Drive facility where the transmitters are located. Police officers are using their personal cell phones to communicate primarily. And here is the police union chairperson with more on that point.
We're not going to know that we need to come get you. And so we've been trying to take measures. The FOP has contacted its members and told them to call into communications, call into their districts, make sure that they're available, that they know where the other police officers are, and try and get out to as many citizens as we can right now.
Well, let's take you inside D.C.'s Unified Communications Center on MLK in Southeast. This is where the 911 calls come in, where the dispatchers work. It's separate from that McMillan Drive facility where the transmitters are located. All 911 calls for police, fire, EMS come here. Your ability to call this evening was never affected. It's getting those calls dispatched. Again, back live now. Again, fire and EMS switched to alternative channels. Police were told maybe using an analog radio system, but primarily my sources in the field are saying they're still using their cell phones. And one last point, Bill Mendelson, the D.C. council person who chairs the Public Safety Committee, says he's as stunned as anyone and expected and believed there was a redundancy or a backup plan that could have gone immediately into effect, but apparently did not tonight. Live in Northwest, I'm Will Thomas. Brian, that's the latest from here.
A lot more questions to be answered.
And we'll quickly note that, of course, the moment JFK was assassinated in Dallas, the phones went dead in the District of Criminals and other cities. And that's what black ops do during a coup, is kill the phones. We then jump to New York City. MTA cuts weekend surveillance at vulnerable Verrazano Bridge in the Queens Midtown Tunnel. It's eyes wide shut at two of the city's main bridges and tunnels. The MTA has removed weekend security details from the Queens Midtown Tunnel and the Verrazano Bridge, the Daily News learned Monday, just as the Moscow bombers sent New York into a new round of terror jitters. No longer do MTA bridges and tunnels cops man booths at the tunnel exit or in the bridges to tower anchorages on Saturdays and Sundays. Instead, the MTA says it has high-tech surveillance system of cameras and monitors. We have a few related stories. We're going to hear a couple of clips, one of which was swiped from WPIX.com and posted to YouTube.com/Media Monarchy. Terror drills held at three New York City transit hubs, surge of law enforcement drills at New York City transit centers, Metro Transit System emergency response, that's back to D.C., New York and D.C. on high alert after Moscow terror attacks, subway riders, fortunately, this is an update from Raw Story, subway riders question the ridiculous show of force by the NYPD. So again, these are the red flags. In the days and weeks leading up to 9/11, bomb-sniffing dogs were pulled away from the World Trade Center. There were power downs and drills, if you will. So they're pulling away guards. And again, as Fletcher Prouty noted, the only thing you have to do to pull off an event is strip away standard operating procedure. So they're pulling these guys away, but that's all right. They have this whole set of CCTV, right? Well, guess what? We've got the National Guard on the streets in New York and CCTV that doesn't work.
The attacks in Moscow are leaving a lot of folks wondering how safe our train and bus subway systems are here in the United States. As it turns out, here in New York, the home of the largest transit system in the nation, nearly half of the 4,000 security cameras in the subway system don't even work. Not really that big a surprise. Our senior correspondent, Rick Leventhal, with the news here in the city. Rick, what's the story with these cameras, Rick? I mean, you see them everywhere.
Yeah, well, Shepard, the Transit Authority says that it's true that only 2,300 of the cameras are actually working, and that's because the rest haven't been hooked up yet. Another 900 are supposed to be operational in June, and the rest should go online sometime later this year. In the meantime, police continue with other operations designed to thwart terror attacks or discourage them, including the surge that we saw here in New York City this morning with hundreds of heavily armed officers from multiple agencies swarming on subway and train stations. Analysts say this can act as a deterrent because terror attacks require extensive surveillance and practice, and terrorists don't want to get caught, so they're not going to go where all these cops are. Of course, intelligence gathering may still be the best weapon of all, though, infiltrating some of these radical groups while they're still plotting their attack.
Yeah, and if you talk to them, they'll tell you part of this is to make us feel better about using those subways, and that makes perfect sense, too. We've learned there's a big difference between how much is spent securing our skies versus our rails.
Yeah, this is an interesting statistic. We're spending on average roughly $6 per air traveler on security and only 6 cents per rider on the rails. Listen.
We're almost trying to create a foolproof system to protect the planes from ever being used like they were used on 9/11 ever again. And then the other part of transportation, which we also know to be quite vulnerable, we're making really a very small pennies on the dollar kind of investment.
And Dr. Flynn says there needs to be more equilibrium in security spending, especially considering that Americans take 14 million train or subway rides every single day, and twice as many people ride New York City subways every day as fly nationwide. The biggest challenge on these subways, Shepard, as you know, they're wide open. Many ways to get on and get off quickly. Tough to keep an eye on all those people.
Yeah, if there weren't many ways, it wouldn't be as convenient to use, and then ridership would go down, and they'd be in a bigger money problem than they already are.
Let's begin by pointing out that this is simply an exercise. Some people concerned seeing us and seeing all of this out here, and this is just tip of the iceberg. They've been concerned that there is a real emergency. There is none. However, on a day-to-day basis, well, new information indicates that if there is an emergency in this system, you may not be as safe as you'd want to be.
The sight is impressive. Cops in heavy weapons gear on or near mass transit. It's not only a show of force, but they're preparing themselves for what to do to prevent a terrorist attack and how to respond to one. This morning, cops from the NYPD and four other agencies, as well as National Guard troops, will do what they call a multi-agency super surge or mass exercise from 7 to 10 a.m. at Penn Station, Grand Central Terminal, and Herald Square. But when the troops aren't there, you may not have the kind of security you deserve.
Even if they're working, they may not be watched in real time. In fact, I know that they're not being watched in real time.
The MTA yesterday confirmed to PIX News that nearly half of its more than 4,300 surveillance cameras in the system aren't working. Many aren't being watched in real time. So, is anyone looking out for you?
Of course. The terrorists watch while you're down there. The criminals watch while you're down there.
The people who prey upon you are watching.
In fact, a man fatally stabbed two people on a train last weekend, then fled from Christopher Street Station. There were no cameras there to record his image. It's got some New Yorkers saying they just don't feel safe generally.
I don't really think it's possible to completely protect us. I think it's kind of easy for someone to get in and do something. And
the MTA points out they do have an effort underway to upgrade or replace about 1,300 surveillance cameras. That still doesn't completely fix the situation. However, the NYPD is also saying today that this exercise is the second this month and is routine for them. They try to keep in training for the worst to happen, so they'll be prepared should it occur. Reporting from outside Penn Station in Midtown, I'm James Ford, WPIX.com.
We've noted time and time again that when drills are run, that somehow gives the opportunity to the rogue elements within the private military industrial complex. As we've already noted, whether it's David Headley, former U.S. agent involved in the Mumbai attacks, when you strip away standard operating procedure and the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing, and you're playing war games where you have someone designated as the red team, the bad guys. Sometimes the red team doesn't know they are the bad guy. And of course, you can't always be safe. Especially when we're dealing with intelligence-connected agencies and events. So, we need to get that on the record. And we have to move quickly now to probably what was the biggest story of the last week. Reichland Security and the feds raid quote-unquote militias in multiple states. On Saturday night, March 27th, the FBI and Homeland Security conducted what was described as a major operation against the Michigan militia. As of Sunday morning, the operation wasn't really reported by national media, though it was covered by local media in Michigan. Of course, these raids happened in Ohio, Indiana, and Michigan. I've put together a compilation of clips that lay out the story in chronological fashion of, again, the rise and the return to the era of the 90s. Every time there's a Democrat in power, the enemies are within. We're back to the era of the Wacos, McVeighs, Ruby Ridges. But let's break down the Reichland Security and Fed raids of the quote-unquote Christian militias.
Tonight, a major operation is underway. We're being told that Homeland Security is involved. The Joint Anti-Terrorism Task Force also involved. We're here live at the Washtenaw County Sheriff where they've set up a command center. Multiple arrests have been made. Again, a major operation underway. We do not know, though, at this time who's being targeted, but this is very serious stuff. Tonight, law enforcement agents converge inside the Washtenaw County Sheriff's Department. The complex guarded at every entrance by sheriff's deputies. None of them will tell us what's going on inside. But Action News has learned multiple raids are being carried out by the Joint Anti-Terrorism Task Force. One of those raids going on near Adrian. We spoke to a woman who is watching it all unfold.
They just got helicopters out there with spotlights going back and forth, and we've got undercover cops sitting at each road meets all around the area.
And are police telling you what they're doing, who they're trying to arrest?
No, we stopped and asked one of them, and he had just said that they are doing a bunch of search warrants and have made up some arrests.
Meanwhile, at the Washtenaw County Sheriff's Department, heavy equipment has been brought in. You can see here two big satellite trucks and a radio tower. You can also see law enforcement agents gathering, and in one case, loading a weapon into an SUV. The FBI will not tell us who is being targeted, but we have learned agents have obtained search warrants. And you're looking at a map of Adrian. This is near the area where these raids are taking place. We're told that it's in Sand Creek and Clayton, where they have multiple checkpoints set up in the area. So residents are actually being forced to go through those. I talked to another resident just a few minutes ago, and he said that on his scanner he heard six people had been arrested as they had come across the Ohio border. The big question, of course, is who is being arrested, who is being targeted. But a major operation with a lot of heavy equipment down there. Again, we're told Homeland Security and the Joint Terrorism Task Force involved. Tonight, the FBI not telling us anything. Reporting live in Ann Arbor, Tom Waite, Channel 7 Action News.
Police still have the roads closed following a weekend raid by the FBI that netted at least three people. The raids took place in Michigan, Indiana, and Ohio. Federal law enforcement official says some of those arrested face gun charges, and officials continued to pursue other suspects. For neighbors in this normally desolate area, the attention came as quite a surprise.
Okay. It was just a lot of cop cars, a lot of flashing lights, state police.
It is unclear what prompted the raids, but in at least one case, the leader of a Christian militia group was targeted. A spokesman for the Southeast Michigan Volunteer Militia says members of Hatari, a Christian militia group, had their property raided by the ATF Saturday night.
I had some contact with them.
Okay, and what do they want?
They've always been very nice and polite to us.
Okay.
No troubles.
Two of the arrests happened Saturday night in towns in Ohio near the southeast Michigan border. A third arrest was made Sunday in northeast Illinois, just over the border with Indiana. Some of the suspects involved are expected to be in court Monday. Ryan Thomas, The Associated Press.
New details emerging on the 9 alleged homegrown plotters. What can you tell us? What do we know?
Well, a clear picture of David Stone, who led this group, is beginning to see a clear picture of who this guy was. It looks like he's a very private individual, that this group was relatively isolated, that other militia groups in the area, there are apparently many, knew about them, but distanced themselves from his group, particularly more recently. It appears that an undercover law enforcement official was involved in the arrest. So we're beginning to sort of piece together what led up to his arrest and sort of what sort of person he was.
Now, they haven't identified the undercover official with that, the FBI agent, right? But they're saying there was one involved.
In fact, that information sort of came out accidentally as an oversight. Briefly today, it was revealed that there was a law enforcement official who was undercover, but his or her role was not revealed. That's right.
Alex, what happens next in the process? What do we expect to happen? How does it play out?
Well, he's going to appear in court tomorrow. It appears that he will eventually get his own representation. Currently, he's represented by public defenders. In the meantime, people are sort of wondering what sort of person he was. It appears that he was deeply religious, but he didn't always regularly attend church. He did attend a local small Baptist church when he did go. He read scripture very, very often. He could quote it verbatim. He spent a lot of time in Hatari, but was very, very private about this group that he had formed and wouldn't immediately reveal it, even to people who were very close to him, including loved ones. We also have a sense that his two sons, who are also indicted, may have been very much under his thumb. Apparently,
okay.
He was...
Okay, Alex, thank you. I'm afraid that's all we have time for. That's Alex Kellogg in Detroit. He sounds like a very strange man. I'm sure all of that will come out, and we'll step back with you, stop back with you, Alex, as we get more details on that. We're going to move on now to the
Christian militia updates. Feds release the indictment against Michigan militia. The Oath Keepers note by way of Mother Jones that Hatari was set up. TheModerateVoice.com notes, but they're our terrorists. Militia charged with plotting to murder police officers. The strange case of Christopher Sickles and the Hatari militia. Militia sought uprising, feds say. And of course, as we heard in the last part of that clip, FBI agent discovered at center of alleged Hatari conspiracy. Oh, and he said, oh, whoops, it sort of accidentally slipped out. We don't want you to know that we infiltrate groups and provocateur them into big terror busts. That, of course, make the front of the paper, but when the story falls apart weeks and months later, you won't hear about it. Other videos and reports on the undercover agent provocateur, perhaps. We don't know that for sure. CNN report suggests militia group linked to the Tea Party, which, of course, we've noted has been completely misdirected and destroyed by the likes of Beck and Palin, and again, the fake libertarian co-opt. Fox trawls InfoWars comments and reports them to the authorities. CNN and SPLC step up the propaganda against the U.S. Of course, they're anti-hate groups that, of course, hate everything. Lou Rockwell answers the question, has the FBI infiltrated tea parties? And of course we can say, does the Pope wear a funny hat? Nevada Capitol lockdown in wake of threats. Connecticut militia group indicted by the feds. And then we have a ton of other related police state updates. Chemical attack exercise in Zion, Illinois. Chicago cab driver accused of helping Al-Qaeda. We've already covered that. The coming of an American Reichstag. That's from HomelandSecurityUS.com. anti-hate group finds yet another group it hates. That's what I was trying to paraphrase a moment ago. There's a great two-part video of Alex Jones being interviewed by CNN, and he shows you his end of the interview, and then you get to see what they cut together. And again, more police state updates. DHS Global Biometric Plan and Facial Recognition Billboards. That is a must-watch clip. And there is, yes, a U.S. biometrics agency. FAS.org, the secrecy blog, notes that BIMA, the Biometrics Identity Management Agency, has been established. It superseded the Biometrics Task Force that was established in 2000. You can download the PDF of the March 23rd order. There's an amazing video that I don't have time to play the clip for, unfortunately. It's an unusually long news piece breaking down the biometric scans going on in Milwaukee traffic stops. Again, Skull and Bones, Time Magazine pushes biometric ID card in the name of immigration reform. Meanwhile, the CFR pushes Merida 2, the new phase in U.S.-Mexico security cooperation. Feds thinking outside the box to plug intelligence gaps. That's from McClatchy. Terrorist attack on Vegas canceled. Politics over preparedness. This story from the Christian Science Monitor notes that at Senator Harry Reid's request, Obama canceled a mock dirty bomb terror attack in Vegas. Could that be because Harry Reid notes that whenever there are drills, somehow they have a bad habit of going live and he didn't want to see his hometown blown up by provocateur false flag events? An interesting note from the Washington Post, national disaster exercises called too costly and scripted may be scaled back. Fascinating story, and again, the further developments that we have always followed the drills on MediaMonarchy.com. North Chicago City simulates chemical attack, again from BioPrepWatch.com. Solid curtain Citadel Shield, the terror drill running on March 22nd, 322, called a success from Z-Wire. AAA notes that police are, quote, sometimes the worst drivers. UK police criticized for staging mock burglaries. That's from The Guardian. Chicago to DC flight diverted for a suspicious person. A court rules that the Seattle police were okay to taser a pregnant woman. We've had massive events here in Portland that I haven't posted yet, but that we're going to get to in the next week. Mysterious explosions happening, as well as the latest police murder events. A police welfare check leaves a woman dead. Of course, the police wanted in. She didn't want to let him in, and the cops blew her away. Iran-Contra operative linked to questionable spy program. Geez, which one and which program? Court says Bush illegally wiretapped two Americans. More on that from Threat Level. Gets into James Risen from, I believe, the New York Times. And the clip from Raw Replay. Ruling suggests entire terror surveillance program illegal, which we've known all along. Quickly now, another story we covered on the latest New World Next Week with CorbettReport.com. Decider-in-Chief bypasses Congress, then visits his Afghanistan surge. From the New York Times, we note that last weekend, Obama, making a muscular show of his executive authority one day after Congress left for spring recess, said Saturday that he would bypass the Senate and install 15 appointees, including Craig Becker, to the National Labor Relations Board, and also Islam Siddiqui, a former lobbyist for Monsanto, Dow, DuPont, to a, you know, safety regulatory board. Change you can't believe in. So, after he bypassed Congress and used his political capital, as of course George Bush noted after the stolen 2004 election, Obama then jetted off to make a surprise appearance at his Afghanistan surge, again with cheering troops that say, "Yay, we love this war now that you're in charge of it." Again, all based on the blank check of the lies of 9/11 that continue to this day. Change. related notes on Obamasiah and all the Congress critters, both on the left and right, fake political paradigm sides. A poll from the USA Today notes that U.S. fumes over politics. The Dems are hated. Their approval ratings are already dropping. The re-thugs hate it. Congress hate it. People are waking up. Sudden mass enlightenment, as we noted at the top of the show. Another poll reveals most Americans oppose Obamacare. Obama backs secrecy for Bush pardon denials. That's from Politico. Another poll, this from Rasmussen, 53% worry opposition to Obama's policies will lead to violence. Again, provocateur, fake left-right paradigm violence. Will destroy each other at the drop of a hat, but will never look up to see the inbred ruling elite, the gangster families, multi-generational serial killers that have been screwing us for generations. Buried in the health scare is Obama's private army. He wants a national security civilian force, just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded as the military. It's in there. Second TSA nominee withdraws his name. Of course, he was the one who favored the Israeli model of airport security. And the hypocrisy grows and grows and grows. It gets ridiculous, and I have a hard time sometimes just not being a complete dick to people. Being like, hey, you paying attention to Obama? With the spying? And the pardons? And the cover-ups? And the lies? And the war? Drill, baby, drill. Obama to open offshore areas to oil drilling for the first time. Reports from Cryptogon and News Junkie Post. Obama's embrace of drilling, baby, drilling angers the Greens, who again are probably realizing that their movement has been co-opted by the ruling elite and the corporations. A quick clip from Dylan Radigan, who we played, I believe, a week or so ago, breaking down the Lehman Brothers Geithner-controlled demolition in the financial New World Order. Dylan Radigan asks the question, and of course we know the answer.
And the special interests giving that money stand to make a small fortune if the drilling is opened up, and yet the amount of oil made available to us to reduce our dependence on foreign energy would not come online for at least 5 to 10 years, and even if we got all of it, might give you a year's worth of oil. This is a fraud. So why is Democrat Obama proposing a plan? Sure, the oil companies will grin, but is it yet another false solution? Is a pattern emerging? Is President Obama nothing more than a Democrat in name only? Dare we say it? A Dino.
You've heard Republican in name only, Rhino. Obama is a Dino that, again, as we've noted time and time again during the campaign, during the election season, post-Obama selection, he was a blank slate. He was more than happy to let you project onto him the change that you wanted to see. And again, they get us to pay attention to the big WWF show. Meanwhile, our local communities fall apart and we're watching American Idol. Last few notes on the phony left-right political paradigm from AllGov and The Guardian and Raw Story. GOP leads Dems 32-26 in a sex scandal count. I believe that count coming from the Daily Beast. GOP Michael Steele and the strippers, of course, busted going to some kind of even referred to as an Eyes Wide Shut type club, which of course brings up Kubrick and, again, the inbred secret societies and the ruling elite. And lastly, an RNC mailer solicited donations to a phone sex hotline. Can't make it up, baby. Now, something we wanted to note last week, but we ran out of time, and again, we're running out of time this week. There's still tons more news still to spill out from MediaMonarchy.com, but we're going to jump for the only time on this episode 164 to one of my sister sites, CyberspaceWar.com, because we want to get this on the record, because we want to show what's coming very soon. This original story came by way of a badly translated Dutch article that, again, I believe we briefly referenced last week, WikiLeaks under surveillance over forthcoming military murder video. That original poor Dutch translation is still the main post on Media Monarchy, but let's hop over to an update from Raw Story. Whistleblower website WikiLeaks is planning to release a video that reveals what it's calling a Pentagon cover-up of an incident in which numerous civilians and journalists were murdered in an airstrike. The video will be released this Monday, the day after Easter, April 5th, at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. They also noted their members have recently been tailed by individuals under State Department diplomatic immunity, and that one related person was detained for 22 hours while authorities seized computer equipment. In a video released last Friday, a Russia Today broadcast discussed the pending release of the video WikiLeaks first announced in a tweet on February 20th, which read, quote, "Finally cracked the encryption to U.S. military video in which journalists, among others, are shot." A follow-up tweet on 322 announced their reveal date. So, again, this Monday in D.C. at the Press Club, massive info bombs being dropped by WikiLeaks.org that, again, we've noted has made more amazing leaks and whistleblown stories blown wide open in the last 3 years than the Washington Post, the CIA's favorite newspaper, has in the previous 30 years. Now, my friends, very quickly, this episode flew by. We're going to end on a sexy note, if you will, a strange note, putting a little more media into the monarchy. Soul singer, iconoclastic R&B singer Erykah Badu struck a raw nerve in the U.S., not just for stripping off in her new video, but for being completely comfortable in her own skin, precisely where John F. Kennedy was assassinated.
By now, you've probably seen clips of the music video with the Dallas artist taking it all off, but you probably haven't heard her explain why she did. Tonight, you will hear R&B singer Erykah Badu say why she stripped at a packed Dealey Plaza as children and tourists watched. And tonight, Badu says she has no regrets. Here's Channel 8's Jason Whiteley.
Okay, line up the top of her head with the building.
Of all those who pose for pictures in Dealey Plaza,
I was about right here in this area. Yeah, it seemed kind of strange.
Nothing quite like this has been captured.
Did she walk past me here?
That's Erykah Badu, a Dallas native, singing in her newest music video.
I think it was kind of odd, like with the kids out here, you know?
It's not what Badu says, it's what she does.
She went naked.
39-year-old mother of three strips naked on a sidewalk crowded with tourists, then falls next to the spot where JFK was assassinated.
I was terrified, period. The whole thing was frightening. You know, not being in love with my body. And as I started to walk, I confronted a lot of fear, personally.
Yeah.
And I hoped that it would encourage others to do the same thing in their own way. Presently,
I'm standing. Badu told the Dallas Morning News she had only one shot to get it right. Neither she nor her photographer had a permit. This is art, though, Badu insists. She confronted inhibitions and overcame her fears.
When I told my mother what I wanted to do, she was not 100% confident that it was the right thing, but she was supportive.
When they turned this corner, 5 miles an hour.
Jimmy Longoria sells papers outside and wasn't convinced.
I understand she's making a video and all that, but I think there's just kids out here, and that kind of maybe a little wrong on that part.
Badu admitted on Twitter that some yelled, "This is a public place. She should be ashamed and needed to put her clothes back on." Badu didn't go back for them. She ran off after a liberating experience at one of the city's most sacred sites tourists never expected to see.
Right now, Dallas police say Badu could have been charged with indecent exposure, among other things, if she was caught, but no one reported it. Also controversial in the video is the sound of a gun blast that happened just before Badu collapsed right near the spot on Elm Street where Kennedy was killed. Reporting live, Jason Whiteley, Channel 8 News.
guerrilla provocative art. That's the way we're going to go out on episode 164 of MediaMonarchy.com. And again, you know, we always have the Google News page open, and this one caught my eye, so we'll make a brief reference to a recently published article on the New York Times, Dateline Rome, at Vatican service, persecution of Jews is invoked. A senior Vatican priest speaking at a Good Friday service compared the uproar over sexual abuse scandals in the Catholic Church, which have included reports about Joey Rat's oversight role in the two cases, compared the uproar to the persecution of the Jews, sharply raising the volume in the Vatican's counterattack. Reaching ridiculous proportions here at the end of this episode. Returning, we missed it last week. I just can't do it all. But here are some creepy customers coming to MediaMonarchy.com in the past week. The Bank of Scotland out of Dublin Googled Martin Keating, the final jihad debunk. But you can't debunk. The brother of Oklahoma City's governor wrote a book called The Final Jihad, where a Tom McVeigh blew up the federal building years before it actually happened. The Fox Chase Cancer Center out of Philadelphia, the Canadian National Railway Company out of Homewood, Illinois, and Dairy Farmers of America out of Chicago Googled earthquake wars. My friends, so much more yet to come. Subscribe to the podcast, to the website. Don't miss a thing. feeds.feedburner.com/MediaMonarchy. More updates to come over this weekend. This has been another jam-packed episode. I thank you, and I appreciate all your help in spreading the word. This is April 2nd, 2010. This has been episode 164 of MediaMonarchy.com. My name's James Evan Pilato, your host and webmaster, imploring you to get active or get radioactive. Take care.
Police would get him just the same.